Close your eyes and trust me for just a moment. We are at the river. The water is cool to the touch. The breeze is blowing gently but cooling. There are shade trees. We hear the sounds of the people quietly walking by, doing their laundry, quietly speaking with one another, some people breaking out into song, some people praying. Lord, in these next few moments, may there be less and less of me and more of you. Amen. Does it feel a little bit cooler? When I was in third grade, I remember walking to my friend Marissa's house. She had bright red hair, and it was freezing cold outside. I don't know why we were walking home in the snow in third grade. I'm not sure. But I was going over to play at our house, and so we started talking about all the things that warmed us up, like hot chocolate and the beach, and it actually worked. So I thought maybe this morning we might feel a little bit cooler. And just be glad. In Arizona, my friend yesterday said it was 113 degrees. So, all right. So we are going to take some time this morning to reflect on hospitality and to reflect on God's call on your life as we travel with Paul, Timothy, and Silas. After temporarily closing a door in the province of Asia, God strained their eyes to see a much wider vision. We identify this pattern from Luke that this is how God plans the church to walk. We ought to follow God's call to reach across cultural and ethnic boundaries and learn to find opportunities to do God's work in unexpected places. Because of this detour to Philippi, the gospel of Jesus Christ went to Europe. Within a couple hundred years, Christians numbered in the tens of thousands in Europe. We hear people say, when God closes a door, God opens a window. Sometimes we might underestimate God. In this case, God closed a door but opened a continent. And it all started with a businesswoman named Lydia. Since there may not have been an established synagogue in Philippi on the Sabbath, they find a prayer house on the cool river, a space filled not with men and high priests, but women. She had outsider status. She was from a part of Asia Minor. And despite how women are typically portrayed in Scripture, nameless, or they failed to even be mentioned, Lydia is a woman of power, of influence, of dignity. She was a professional woman, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God, a Gentile woman who had accepted Jewish teaching. She was not technically Jewish by ancestry, but had become conversant in the Jewish faith. She was an outsider, and this shows us that God looks upon and hears all people. God's attention, power, and compassion are not limited to those who call themselves Israelites or Christians. And finally, Lydia was the head of her own household, which would have been very unusual in this time and place. And there's all sorts of different backstories as to why that would have been the case. She was also clearly a risk taker in that she invited Paul to come to her home without concern for what effects it might have on her reputation or her business. On Tuesdays at 10 o'clock in the morning, we're having a study throughout the summer to talk about each of the faces of our faith. And so I had 7 people join me this past Tuesday at 10 o'clock to talk about Lydia. And I hope you'll join me this Tuesday so we can talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is my favorite story out of the whole entire Bible. So this group that met this past week named different characteristics of Lydia based on how the artwork spoke to them. The group said that she was a seeker, inquisitive, confident, bold, had strength and softness about her, was compassionate and reassuring, a visionary, brave, generous, and humble. The artist's focus was Lydia's eyes. They're painted with different shades of blue and some orange. I was personally drawn to her different colored strands of hair, browns and blondes, and what I was drawn to was the gray. It spoke to me about her wisdom and how wise she must have been, wise enough that her household followed her to be baptized as believers, wise enough to be a successful businesswoman, wise enough to invite men who were strangers and recently out of prison into her home, and wise enough to know how to build relationships, be hospitable, and be part of spreading the gospel throughout Europe. This story highlights the first act of discipleship of a Christian convert on the European continent. Not in proselytizing, not a crusade or an inquisition. It was hospitality, giving of oneself. It is redefining definitions of community in a Roman colony. It's about building relationships. A life of following Christ is a life of hospitality. Hospitality is essentially the offer of safety, comfort, nourishment, and friendship to both friend and stranger. What does it look like to be hospitable in our church and in our community, in our home, to those who need shelter, safety, nourishment, acceptance, and friendship? Maybe we admire Lydia, but think we could never be like her, or aren't sure what to do with ourselves when we're in a time of transition. God has a call on every single one of our lives. We just have to be open to it. And that call can change over time. Not everyone can be a leader or possess all of the other characteristics we named that we thought Lydia might have possessed. If you've ever taken a spiritual gifts inventory, they tell you, or if you haven't been told this, you should take it again from time to time. Maybe your life has changed. Maybe something's happened to you. Maybe you've grown in your spirituality and in your maturity. You might take that spiritual gifts inventory at one time and be something, and take it again and have some completely different spiritual gifts. You might be being called to go in a different direction, just like Paul was called to go in a different direction, a different location to share the love of Jesus. I was recently reading a book about growing older gracefully. I mentioned earlier that I think that Lydia would have been a woman who had a lot of wisdom. She would have been someone who was growing older gracefully, and who had heard and responded to God's call in her life. She would have known that she must reassess her role in her home, in society, and what her personal life looked like, including her spiritual life. The book I was reading had some great reflection questions and ideas for responding to God's call on our lives and for being hospitable. What are we when we pass in life from doing to being? What am I when I am not what I used to do? And does anybody really care? And what does that have to do with growing into God? These are hard questions that come with growing older and with retirement. These are the core questions that expose the depth of spirituality in us. The world has been upside down for so long, it is almost impossible to believe anymore that the meaning of life is not about doing. the notion that it is about being caring, being interested, being honest, being truthful, being available, being spiritual. Sort of sounds like Paul's letters to the Philippians and some of his other letters. Being involved with the important things of life, of living, is so rare, so unspoken of. We don't even know what meaning means anymore. To be meaningful to the world around us means that we need to provide something more than numbers. It means that we are obliged to offer important ideas, sacred reflection, a serious review of options. It means that we prod the people around us to reflect on what they themselves are doing while they can still change what they're doing or not doing. So does anybody really care? I know I do. I need those proddings and those reflections and those times to just be in my life. And I look to many of you for that. Taking care of a neighbor who is far more limited than I am gives me something to think about other than myself, this book said. Dedicating to myself to the local school as a teacher's aide involves me in the development of the next generation. Creating a discussion group to explore the effects of legislation on people of all classes in my city makes me a thinking member of a thinking population. Becoming the one in every group who asks the others more than just, "And what do you do for a living?" might even be the very thing that gives spiritual meaning to their lives as well. I did a funeral on Friday, and I learned some more about those who run one of the funeral homes. Do you know a couple of them are foster parents as well? Welcoming people into their homes. I think they're close to retirement age. There's people sleeping in the, kids sleeping in the DCS offices. That's a way to open your home. Growth in old age requires the curiosity of a five-year-old and the confidence of a teenager. There is nothing we can't do if we want to do it. We can learn another language. We can walk the city from one end to the other. We can go up and down the street, introduce ourselves to our neighbors, and offer to bake a cake for them once a week if they'd like it. Or we can start a car service for parents who spend their own nights after work driving their children back and forth to band practice and basketball and gymnastics lessons and dental appointments. Someone at John's church, she has retired from her position and now she drives for Uber. And we can call on her a lot when there are those in the community who need help going to an appointment. We send her Uber gift cards because she loves to help people through that service. We can start a monthly book club and rotate the discussions and buffets that follow them from house to house so that everybody in the group gets company. We can participate in the care chain that was developed and is being worked on in our church, where those who live alone are checked on and interacted with on a daily basis. We could have worship on the lawn on the corner of our church building. We can go visit with the homeless who hang out at Elstro Plaza and around the Richmond Baking Company. We can invite someone else to come with us when we go out to lunch after church that we haven't invited before. We can reach out not only to the Boys and Girls Club, but reach out to their families as well. When God has work to do in the world, women and men are called and equipped to do that work. We simply have to faithfully respond to the call. When ministry in the church, in the world, falls short, 9 times out of 10, it's because 1 or 2 or 10 of us have a hard time believing that God would ever, that God could ever choose us to do something worthwhile and of significance for the kingdom. May we share radical hospitality with others, the kind of hospitality that Lydia so faithfully shared with others. May we consider the ways that God still calls us, and may we be faithful to respond to that call in our living and in our being, no matter what stage of life we are in at the present moment. Amen.